Scorpions Audio, a podcast, a podcast network.
Hello
and welcome to
Two
Filthy
Nerds.
Because there's two of us,
and we're filthy,
and we're nerds.
You rearranged it. How dare you? You know I don't like things being out of order.
I wanted to throw you off.
How dare you try to throw me off?
I gotta be honest. I did it wrong. I didn't do it on purpose.
Oh, wait. Did you just do something wrong and then blame something else besides taking responsibility? Did you do that? I'm sorry.
No,
Did you just not take responsibility for your own actions?
I did something wrong and then I played it off like I intended to do it. But in reality, my brain lapsed and I just had this moment after I said it where I was like, oh, I did it to catch you off guard. And then I was like, literally my brain isn't even working enough to joke right now. So I'm like, I'm just going to have to spill the beans. Like,
That's good. What a great way to start our podcast. My brain isn't working enough to joke right now. We're so fucked. You guys, we made it all the way to the first Avengers. Holy shit. We've seen Iron Man. We've seen Hulk.
Iron Man 2,
of course. I'm just saying who we've met. Thor. We've met. Oh, I'm burping. I'm gross. Oh, I know. Oh, no. What have I become? Nicole.
Me.
Captain America. It's all happening. And by the way, you can be here live as this is all happening in the front row. Patreon.com/twofilthynerds. Everyone's here. We're all talking shit between all of our breaks and sometimes right in the middle of the show. Anyway.
Let's kick it off.
Yeah.
I gotta be honest. The beginning of Avengers, very confusing to me. I actually went back and watched it again this morning.
Because you were
I was like, I am so uncertain of what that whole like world was. I was like, who are these people? I don't remember. Like, I kept hearing them say the name Chitauri. And I was like, what? I think I said it right.
I don't even remember.
But these aliens are like,
things.
Oh, the Tesseract. It's on.
Yeah, it opens on like really ugly aliens. And they're talking about the Tesseract, which we have just freshly heard of in Captain America. Also, someone said this, one of our patrons who is doing the movie watch. We also do movie watches. Everyone tunes in. We hit play at the same time and we chat along. There's lots of fun commentary, both from our mouths and going on in the chat. Someone else said this, which I had been thinking. One of our patrons, Karina, was like, when they say Tesseract, does that remind anyone else of A Wrinkle in Time, which was one of my favorite books? And I was like, yes, the Tesseract, which I think reading that book, I thought was just made up for that book. And now I'm like, are Tesseracts real things here? Is Tesseract just this thing that is like...
Or did the person who wrote
that book steal it from...
The Marvel series, did they take that from A Wrinkle in Time?
Or did they change it to Tesseract because of laws where they didn't own all the... It doesn't matter. It was just fun to hear someone else say that because there's not a ton of Wrinkle in Time stands. So that was nice. But anyways, they're basically talking about the Tesseract and how it's been found on some little planet Earth, you know?
And they were like, we've got a guy who's going to go get it, an ally. And then once he gets it, then we're going to go down there and fuck shit up and... Burn all the puny humans.
Now, at this point, like, did you know? I'm trying to think if I knew who they were talking about because I've seen some of the movies or if it was enough context.
I didn't know. I had no idea.
You had no idea.
I had seen it too, and I just didn't remember that it was Loki.
Yeah, no, I think that even when I saw this movie initially, I had my assumptions of like, the guy's, it's gotta be Loki, right? It's 'cause can't be anyone else.
I didn't know. I was like, maybe they were introducing someone else.
But they leave it kind of ambiguous.
I saw Avengers, but I had never seen Thor, so I didn't know who Loki was. So I didn't know enough about even Loki.
Oh, you hadn't seen Thor. Yeah. Had you seen any of them before this?
Yes.
Or did you just see Avengers?
I've seen all of them except for Thor. I haven't seen Thor, and I haven't seen... I actually had seen a little pieces of Thor, but nothing of substance. And then I had seen little pieces of
Captain
Hulk,
America.
But not enough to know. But all the other ones I'd seen. But I was just like, I didn't remember who it was. And like, I didn't know that it was Loki. But
you know what I like about these movies is that obviously there's nuggets and seeds that they plant of other movies, but I really think that you could watch so far, you could watch any of these movies and not be invested in the franchise and still go, that was a fun watch. Like you.
1,000%. And I think that's why it does well.
Like they nailed. Mm-hmm. It's like it all feeds each other, but you can, you don't have to see all of them to enjoy one. And I think that's. Because I also think that's a thing people do where, you know, like they want to jump in a series and like, well, if I don't haven't seen the rest, will it make sense? But it's like, it'll make enough sense. There's probably a couple.
It'll make enough sense. And I also think they establish like a new conundrum each time. So, for example, in this one, you know, you the next scene is they're evacuating this base, because this shield base, because they're doing something with the Tesseract there and a. It's set on off alarm or something. And they're like, we need to evacuate this base. So we see Fury being like, get everybody out of here. He's talking to, what's his name? Coulson.
Yeah, yeah. Agent Coulson, the SHIELD, which is the government agency that the, you know, Avengers are kind of under. They're obviously doing a lot of something's going on here. Part of a big mission.
So immediately we're in it. You don't need to know any backstory at this point.
No, we see Dr. Eric Selvig, who, if you watched Thor, you know, is that same doctor who was working with Natalie Portman's character. Mm-hmm. But he's poking around with the Tesseract, trying to, like, you know, experimenting, just being very sciencey.
And he wasn't even fucking around with it when all of a sudden this, like, it a power surge happens.
And the Tesseract
and they're
activates.
Like, holy shit, what is going on? And at this point, I gotta be honest, when we were watching it the first time, I was like, what in the fuck is going on? Why am I not First of all, I couldn't turn the captions on. And I think this is one thing where it's like, you have to watch this with the captions. So
really?
When I rewatched it this morning. Yeah, I can't. Because they say words, like, for example, the alien scene in the very beginning. I couldn't understand what the fuck they were saying. It was like,
I just feel
Tesseract.
Like I was just gonna say I feel like needy with the captions camp because I mean people watch it in movie theaters and now as I was saying that I was like are they starting to play captions in movie theaters to be more accessible? I don't know because they don't normally
that.
Have
I need captions at this point because my hearing
I'm sure there will be I am glad there are options for hearing impaired people. I'm sure I will be thankful for them one day when my ears have just decided to shut off the outside world. But you know what I don't like about captions is I stop paying attention to the movie. I'm reading the captions.
Yeah.
Like I don't get to see the magic of all the shots. I'm like not getting the beauty of the cinematography. But anyway, neither here nor there. The Tesseract is activated. It's like, oh shit, it's alive. How is this happening? We don't know what the fuck's going on. And it opens a fucking a wormhole.
Oh, wait. Agent Hawkeye is there and says the deepest shit. He's like, whatever's happening with the Tesseract, he says to Fury, he's like, whatever's happened with the Tesseract, it's not happening on this side. And Fury's like, what do you mean this side? He's like, well, the Tesseract is a door to another universe. And doors open both ways. And then... the Tesseract explodes, shoots a fucking beam, and then wham, Loki shows up with this torch thing in his hand.
Oh, yeah, he's got like a, it's like a...
the staff.
A staff. Like very, you mentioned this before, but like Jafar thing, but like he puts, it's got a, what is that thing called? It's on the Russian flag.
A sickle.
It's like a sickle, yeah. Uh-huh. It's like got a sickle ending, and he puts it on Dr. Selvig, who had been playing with it, and on Hawkeye. And we see their eyes, like, glaze over. Mm-hmm. And now he, like, can control them. Mm-hmm. And along with their help, he manages to get the Tesseract, escape. Our producer, Sam, wants us to know that it's called a scepter, not, what did we call it?
A sickle. Well, the point on the end, it's
no,
sickle-like.
A staff. Is that what a scepter is, like, the full staff. This is, we call ourselves nerds and we're arguing over semantics of the word scepter. But a scepter can have lots of different tops, right? It's just like, it's referred to as Loki's scepter, I guess. But
oh, okay.
The point is,
there we go.
It's a giant walking stick.
He's got a big rod, okay? Giant rod, and he puts his rod on people and he converts them to his side. That is, you know what? That is a powerful rod.
I mean, I have encountered a rod or two like that. in my day where I was
just
converted
got out of
to
a
this
relationship
side.
With one, and man, oh man, was it hard.
It's like a Rod Stewart.
So they escape with the Tesseract, and then Agent Fury, by the way, he was wearing like a bulletproof vest, so he was shot, nothing happened. And then he wakes up and he's like, we got to get out of here. This whole place is going to blow.
Yeah. So it's like
they're running from this place and the whole place implodes and is just falling. And they're driving as fast as they can to get out. Oh, by the way, there's this other agent there. I can't remember what her name is. Guess what? Hot, obviously.
By the way, when we're watching the movie, because we watch the movies live with our patrons, you're like, why are the women in superhero movies always so hot? And I just
always
thought,
so hot. Even the non-primary characters.
Like, yeah, because she's not girl. Even. What I want to know is, like, does someone who's like deep in the Marvel universe? Because it's not. It's some other S.H.I.E.L.D. agent, Maria Hill. Does she have a deeper storyline in the comic books than we see in this? Because they sort of made her just the women. Are there ugly men? That's a fair point, Jarvis.
There was
the
one point where she has a sustained look at Captain America. Captain America walks by her when he's on the ship for the first time, and she's seeing Captain America for the first time, and she sees him and she's like, and I'm like, who is this woman?
Yeah. And so, she's obviously like a high up within the S.H.I.E.L.D. rank, but it seems like she's just a person, you know, working there. Cause we don't really get, she seems to pop up in nowhere's ship, but we don't really know her. I don't know. This seems to be a storyline. But anyways, this is how the whole fucking movie opens. Yeah. So it's like, holy shit, we are already off and running. With
shit's
like,
popping off. And then Fury's like, we're officially at war. And it's like, all right, let's do this.
Let's fucking do it. So then we end up in Eastern Europe is the next kind of like scene after the whole fiasco.
We cut to a whole new world. And I gotta be honest, Jess and I, when we got to this scene, we were both pretty amped. We were both.
This is the scene I remember the most.
Black Widow. This is one of the most memorable scenes. It's so fucking badass.
Where she's tied to a chair.
The second you see her again, I was excited.
Well, you're like, there she is.
There's the girl from Iron Man 2.
Who we briefly saw, you know, right at the end become a badass. And you're like, what's her deal? Here's what I want to say about this. Because, like, we open on this scene where she's, like, leaning off of a hole at the top of, like, a several-floor warehouse, tied to a chair with three seemingly Russian guys who are basically being like,
you're a spy.
They're basically confronting her about stuff and being like, you're fucked, and sort of cornering her. And it really doesn't look good for her. What I want to say really quick, because I don't know if I'll remember to say this, and it's a thought that's popped up twice, and I keep being like, I'm going to save it for the end of the when we talk about Avengers, but I'm just going to say it now because I think it's important. If I were to have watched none of the other movies, and this is what upsets me and also what excites me about her movie coming out on July 9th. If I were to have seen none of these previous movies before this, you know, Captain America, the two Iron Mans, etc., and I watched that movie and someone told me, hey, you know that they have individual movies about all of the Avengers that you can watch to feed into this movie. I would have assumed that, of course, there must be one about her.
Like, I think it's problematic that it took this long, but
it's
whatever.
Fucking annoying. So she's
not to mention. She's so good in that character. It's fucking nuts.
Like, when people get mad when Scarlett Johansson's given roles, it's like, fucking, she's good. She's so good.
She's great. Not to mention, why wouldn't you want to do a movie with just her? She's got star power.
Yeah, it's like, people love superheroes, and there's people who probably don't care that much about superheroes that just want to see a hot woman fighting people.
Yeah. Anyways.
I want
to see her fight people over Edward Norton.
I mean, yeah, I enjoyed it that, but I would definitely love to see her more. Yeah. So she's in this fucking precarious situation. We're going to take a break. We're going to see what's about to fucking happen with her right after this break. Okay, we're back. She's fucking, I would say against the wall, but she's literally being leaned over a thing, tied on a chair. threatened. And then
a phone call.
A phone call comes into one of these, you know, Russian henchmen. He picks it up.
And he's like, and then he speaks to the head guy. He's like, hey, it's for her. Somebody wants to talk to her.
Yeah,
and
it's Agent Coulson, yeah.
And Agent Coulson's like, I've got the entire place surrounded. I with an F-22 bomber. I can have that whole place leveled before you even get outside. So put her on the phone. And he's like, okay. And he puts her on the phone. And he like puts it under her ear and she's just sitting there and she's like, what?
She's like, hold it.
Come in. She's like, I'm working right now. I'm in the middle of an interrogation and these guys are giving me everything.
Yeah. And the Russian guy's looking at him, he's like, I did not give her everything. I don't give.
Yeah. And by the way, before he had given her a lot of information.
It is because
like, I thought you were with so-and-so.
And he like thinks that she's about like, cause they're probably like, she's going to die and like, whatever.
Yeah.
So it's just really funny with her. Like it's the serious moment. She's like, you need me to come in right now because she's tied. She's like tied up in a chair and then she fucking levels the room.
Wait. The thing that got her to come in, he's like, they got Hawkeye. And she was like, okay.
Which is interesting because there's this ongoing that we'll see. That's like this unspoken, like, are they a thing? I don't know.
We don't know. And spoiler alert, by the end of this movie, we still don't know.
Yeah, and by the end of several movies, we probably won't know.
A team in some capacity.
They have some sort of connection.
Do we want them to fuck? Yeah, badly. I want to watch her fuck anyone.
Yeah. Someone in the chat is saying Hawkeye has a family. Like, that has ever stopped several women. She's a redhead. She's ruthless.
We have no soul, redheads.
Yeah.
And then so then she like just beats everyone.
Yeah, she like just like swings the chair around and is hitting them. She's like staying tied to the chair for a while to take down two of them.
Then smashes out of it. Does a flip and body slams a dude, breaks open the chair.
And then she just, they're all knocked out. She's like still on the phone. Oh, that's the thing. She goes, hang on for a second.
And then they show Coulson on the other end of the line just listening to...
Not pressed at all, by the way. He's just like, all right, she's doing her thing where she kicks everyone's ass because that's what she does. Like, he's not even a little bit like, we better have fucking backup ready. And then she's like, okay, and starts talking to him and picks up her shoes and just calmly walks out. Like,
she's just wearing black pantyhose and starts walking out. I think one of the things I love the most about this scene is, you know, it's like, think about like when we're writing a character, like on our pilot, we're trying to like show you who someone is and not tell you who someone is. And I think this scene shows you almost everything you need to know about her.
Like, yeah.
It's a perfect scene of her priorities, her capabilities, her level-headedness. Like, she's like a flawless character for me.
Yeah, I mean, they nail it. That's why I've been so excited for the Black Widow movie, is like they just set her up so well. Like, you want to know more about her, you want to see her. And I know we talked about like, oh, that's kind of the thing, is that like, oh, she's so mysterious. But like, I mean, they just, because look, nobody wants to hate Scarlett Johansson more than every woman who will never be as hot as Scarlett Johansson, aka me. Like, you can't. She's
by the way, just so you know, I saw her in person once years ago when I was in New York.
I met her face to face. She's not tall.
She's not tall and she's not thin. She's built like a normal human.
No, it's like, okay, this is a real thing and you guys can laugh at me because it's completely insane. But knowing what Scarlett Johansson is built like and then rewatching this movie, I looked up Scarlett Johansson's workouts because I'm like, oh, you could just, like, she's just in shape, but she's not, like, we have this idea, and maybe not everyone cares, but, like, that as an entertainer, especially a woman on camera, you have to be super thin. Yeah. Oh, the camera adds 10 pounds. And it's like, she looks amazing and she's like a normal human.
Yeah. Normal looks so, like, and it's remarkable how gorgeous she is.
Yeah.
Anywho, so she's walking out of there. She's on the phone with Coulson and he's like, listen, the SHIELD needs your help. We need you to go get the big guy.
The big guy. That's what they say. We need you to get the big guy.
And she's like, anywho. So we all know who the big guy is.
Okay, I was going to say, did you in this one? I obviously did, but I was like,
yeah.
So she tracks down, not even tracks down. So the next scene we see is like this little girl running through the streets of India. She runs in somewhere to like, she's looking for a doctor. Please, my father. And she has like money in her hands and he's sick. And they're like these people. And there's a woman there going, you know, like a, I assume this is India. I don't know if they made it. Did they say India?
It was India.
There's a
Southeast
Asian woman. Like, you shouldn't be in here. These people are sick. And Bruce Banner turns around, which here's the thing. If like, I had the thought of, obviously leading up to this movie, there was a bunch of press of like Mark Ruffalo is playing the Hulk. But if you just watch this not knowing that, this would have been so confusing. You're like, well, who the fuck's this guy? But he's like, all right, she's sick like these people. She takes him. She's like, please come to my house. So he's following this little girl. There's a point where he's like running through the streets with her. We see a big truck go by and he stops so that the truck can pass. But he also turns away like he is very much in hiding.
Yeah.
Runs into this house and the little girl just runs off and out comes fucking
ScarJo.
ScarJo. And it's like,
and he's like, well, you tricked me.
Yeah, it's a very, very tense conversation.
And he's like, how'd you find me? She's like, we never lost you.
We never lost you. Which is kind of like, we just gave you your space. You know what I mean? And he goes, let me guess, like, the whole building's surrounded now. And she's like, no, it's just me. It's just you and me.
And then at some point he flips out on her. She pulls a gun that was strapped under the table. And then
there's this moment where he calms down. And then
she
like,
goes, stand down. And he's like,
just you and me, huh? And he very reluctantly, but he like is like, all right, I'll come in. Because they need him to track down the Tesseract's radiation. He's the guy. So the Tesseract emits gamma radiation, I guess. And he's the expert in it. We know that. So he's being recruited to come in. And then we see Nick Fury on this like video conference with these, what seems like it's supposed to be government officials. I don't know if they're senators.
It's some sort of council of people who don't get their hands dirty, but make the decisions about other people.
The Clintons, basically. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just a bunch of Clintons on different cameras.
And they're like, we need to proceed to phase.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes. So doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
Don't worry about this team that you're trying to put together. We need to proceed to phase two. And he's like, wars are won with soldiers. We need soldiers.
Yes. He's basically trying to convince them, like, this team, this
the Avengers team,
groupies, is what needs to happen. But it's like, he says the like, wars are won with soldiers. We need soldiers. And we cut immediately to Steve Rogers in a fucking just gym beating the shit out of multiple punching bags. Yeah. Like, we see him get pissed.
Going
he punches one
him.
And it flies off. And he's got a bunch sitting there and he just restacks them. Because, like, as we saw, you know, previously, he's just come out of this fucking 70-year coma. Mm-hmm. He's fucking, yeah, that would be very stressful.
Mm-hmm. And so Fury's like, listen, we got a situation. Stark got the Tesseract off the floor after it fell out of the airplane. Long story short, bad guys have the Tesseract. Can you help us get it back? And he's like, ugh, fine. Because he's a fucking soldier. He reports for duty, you know?
He reports for duty. He's also well aware of the potential
power
impact
of the Tesseract.
I mean, he's seen this thing do some fucking damage. So he's in.
He's in. Then we cut to the next person in the Avenger lineup. Fucking Iron Man. Daddy By the way, I was like, what is he doing? I forgot this part entirely. He's on the ocean floor with like a soldering torch. I don't know if that's what the word is, but he's doing underwater welding.
Yeah. And he's like putting a thing in place. We see him like drop it like, I guess it's some version of the arc reactor, yeah. Like the thing in his chest. And he like.
And then he fucking jets up out of the water, flies over to his building. It's New York City. There's a huge skyscraper. And at the top of the skyscraper, it says Stark in big letters.
Stark. It's like big name on a giant, the tallest building in the city.
And then he comes in, Pepper Potts, looking mucho cute.
Oh, by the way, when he comes in, there's a whole like technology, like house like undresses him from his suit.
Yeah,
and he just walks in and he's just slowly himself.
And it's like pulling. Fucking cool as shit.
The best. And it's clearly like he and Pepper Potts are supposed to like have a night. Like this is their night. It's hangout night. This is his girl. We're going to do our thing.
And then all of a sudden Agent Coulson shows up.
Yeah. Oh, because like Jarvis is like, Agent Coulson's calling. And he's like, I'm not available. He's like, he's very insistent. And then he's like, he has the phone. And he's like, Jarvis, I don't want to talk to him. He's like, he's overridden the system. And he pretends to answer the phone and is like, this is Tony Stark's real life answering, blah, blah, blah. And as he tries to do that,
the elevator door opens up.
Ugh. And Coulson's right there. And also, Tony is being like such a dick to him. But Pepper's being really sweet. She like uses Agent Coulson's first name. And Tony's like jealous.
I don't remember that.
She calls him Phil. And Tony's,
oh, that's funny.
And Tony says, his first name is Agent.
That's funny. I don't remember that.
So it was really funny because it was this moment of, like, you have nothing to worry about. You're the billionaire Tony Stark. She's also emotionally attached to you for a variety of things, for a variety of reasons, which mostly probably comes down to some sort of trauma bonding as your personal assistant for years. But he's trying to just be like, no, I'm not interested, fucking whatever. And Pepper Potts is like, hey, like, it's, come on.
Yeah. Go save the day.
The power
baby.
Of the pussy.
Go save the day.
That's right.
He agrees. They take off. The next scene, they're in this helicopter being transported, and it's Coulson standing with Captain America, like fanboying.
Yeah, just, oh man, so great to have you on board.
Then cut to Loki. He has
a whole office space now.
And he has Dr. Selvig working for him, building this thing. We don't know what he's building, but it's something involving the Tesseract. And all this thing is going on. And then all of a sudden, Loki's sitting there and Loki like has this like mind melt where he like transfers into the other realm where the bad guys are. What are they called?
The
Chitauri?
Chitauri.
And they're like, what's going on? And he's like, I've got this, blah, blah, blah. You'll see what's going to happen.
They're
whatever.
Basically like wanting updates from him. They're like, what's the fucking holdup? Where's the goddamn power thing? Mm-hmm. The Tesseract, you know? And they're like, listen, you better fucking do this. Or it's very like, this is the alien version of the mafia. Like, we're going to have a fucking problem if you don't deliver this Tesseract. But they don't sound like that at all.
Mafia. They're like, we're going to have it. I can't remember what the voices are like.
We need a Tesseract. I don't know either. I don't remember. But he like, it's the situation of very confrontational. And all of a sudden he like snaps back into his body. On Earth, like, and his face is very much like,
we gotta get popping.
Yeah. So,
next scene, Captain America, Banner, Black Widow, they all meet up. Okay. They're being led by Coulson. They all get to this heli carrier. We just think it's an aircraft carrier. We don't know what it's capable of yet, but it eventually flies.
Because they're on, it looks like a boat. Right?
It's a boat. It's floating at first.
It's like a helicarrier. If you don't know, imagine the, have you ever seen Top Gun?
Yeah.
It's like the exactly thing where like the planes that. Land in the water. And there's a point where Black Widow or is that other agent girl says, you guys better get somewhere where
Black Widow undercover. Says that. She's like, we better get somewhere where it's going to be easier to breathe. It's about to get really hard to breathe.
Yeah. And Bruce Banner goes like Captain America goes, is this thing a submarine? And Bruce Banner's like, seriously, like they think submerging me
in a pressurized cylinder
container
is a good idea.
Is a good idea. And then all of a sudden it's fucking starts lifting flying out of the water. Like, what in the fuck?
And then
you see, I mean, you're seeing this thing like magically come up and there's like crazy shots of.
First of all, I didn't know what was happening. I didn't know if it was sinking or going up in the air. I couldn't remember, but I was just like, holy shit, I don't know what's happening. But all I can think is, we didn't say it, but in the scene where Fury meets up with Captain America for the first time, he's like, shit's about to get crazy. You're not going to believe what you see. And Captain America's like, I bet you $10. Anyway, so of course Captain America's brain is exploding because he's watching a ship come out of the water and fly.
He's from the 40s. Like, what the fuck is happening? And Bruce Banner is like, immediately he's getting to work hunting down. We've got to find the source of the, like, he's trying to track where the gamma radiation is, because if you find the big source, that's where you're going to find, you know, the Tesseract. We're going to take a break. He's working with Black Widow. When we come back, shit's going to get pretty crazy. We're on the hunt for this Tesseract.
The grossest thing in all of the Marvel movies that I've seen happens when we come back.
Okay, we're back. They're on the hunt for the gamma radiation.
We go back to Loki and Hawkeye, who are talking, and Hawkeye is like giving him the down low of what's necessary. And he's like, I need a distraction and an eyeball. And I'm like, eyeball? What?
Yeah.
Then they go back to Coulson bragging to Captain America about his fucking card collection.
His trading card collection, which is funny because previously I don't remember who said to him, they're like, oh, did he mention his card collection to you yet? Yeah. I don't remember if that was that Black Widow?
I think it was Maria.
This is the fucking problem.
Oh, no, it was Black Widow. Anywho, oh, hot okay, girl.
I was like, am I confusing all the women?
How cold
are one
has
of the hot
collection.
Chicks. I'm a misogynist, I guess. Okay.
And so while is happening, an alert comes through. They found a face ID because, oh, by the way, I love the scene when they were like, we're scanning all computers, all cameras, anyone who has any kind of device. If we can see through it, we'll find, you know, his face, basically. And I'm just like, oh, great. You know, big brother. Government is really.
Yeah, basically.
Everything.
And they do. They pick up some signals.
They pick up his face. They find his face.
Stuttgart.
He's in Stuttgart, Germany. And they're like, why the fuck is he in Stuttgart, Germany?
You just called it You've twice in a row, you called it Germany.
Germany? Stuttgart, Germany. Germany. Okay, so Loki goes into this swanky museum
with that his group of sort of people that he's, you know, controlling. Mm-hmm. It's very weird.
And then
he's in a suit. He looks very hot.
And then what's his face? Why am I blanking on his name?
Hawkeye.
He goes somewhere else. Hawkeye goes to some laboratory.
Yeah, and he's like boop 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 trying to like clearly boop, boop, like it's like
and then takes
vaults breaking into of some
that,
sort
that like opens up and like it's I don't know what it is, but it's like projecting onto like what would be like a security keypad, and then
yeah, and they're there to get something to do with the Tesseract, something that will like enhance the Tesseract. Anyway, Loki like mainlines through this like group of people
in the museum. There's a swanky party. He takes a dude, slams him on some sort of ancient Greek tablet, lays him out, takes out this huge device,
puts it on his eyeball,
and then it cuts out his eyeball.
And I mean, the whole fucking museum screaming, everyone's running.
The guy's body's like shaking, and then it stops because he's dead.
Yeah, and like. We see on the other end where Hawkeye is, like, a scanning, and it's like, boop, boop, boop,
it's
approved.
Filling in an eyeball.
So he's now broken into wherever this thing that he needs to get is located. They've used his eyeball. And then Loki, of course, transforms into, he starts to walk out of the museum.
Oh, by the way, they were getting iridium to stabilize. They needed something to stabilize the Tesseract.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It was iridium?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. It's the captions, man. I got to turn off the captions.
No. I needed the captions to find that out.
Well, goddamn it. Anyways, he walks out. Loki walks out. He's like, now, in the process of walking, he's gone from suit to full Loki outfit with like weird horns, and he's got his...
He looks like a Roman soldier.
Scepter.
Or a Greek god.
I mean, Loki's hot. I don't know how else to say
Loki's
this, but like...
He can get it.
But every villain has the stupidest outfits. Like, they're just like... It looks like a costume that Lady Gaga rejected for one of her tours.
Truly.
He walks out and there's like a group of people that he, you know, is now like, I'm taking over, you know, and is basically trying to get this whole group of people who have, you know, run and been terrified and like, what the fuck is going on? He tells them to like bow and kneel before him. And he's saying this thing about how humans want to be led and like, you need a leader. Mm. And he's like, he basically is just like, you're all fucking sheep. And then there's one old man who stands up and he's like, I'm not afraid of you. There's always guys like you. And
he's like, there's no one like me. He's like, yeah, there are.
Yeah, there is. They always come through. And then, yeah, that's so true. Which is also like, wait, why is he speaking English? Was he speaking English?
Well, Loki was speaking English, but it was a German guy. He had to speak English back to
Loki, because he's like, oh, these fucking Americans with their stupid hats and their English.
And then... Loki's about to obliterate this old guy, and then Captain America to the rescue.
Yeah, he like Captain America drops in front of this old guy and deflects whatever fucking Loki is just trying to shoot at him.
And then Captain America does his monologuing where he's like, the last time I was in Germany, there was a man standing over people and it didn't end well.
Yeah, and it's like fucking Black Widow, Iron Man show up, right? And it's just like, it's basically like a not today Satan moment.
And they
like,
nab him. They get him.
Yeah.
He got.
Yeah. And it seems like pretty easy, which is kind of crazy.
Too easy.
Yeah.
And then they're up in a helicopter and like all of a sudden there's lightning and Loki looks really uncomfortable.
And, yeah, because they had captured him in a small helicopter. Uh-huh. Not to be confused with the helicarrier, which they are, of course,
heading to there. And then... Captain America, he's like, oh, what, you can't handle a little lightning?
Yeah, because Loki is visually, like, disturbed. Uh-huh. Like,
I didn't know why. Thunder. I forgot this entire part. I was like, wait.
The thunder didn't make you think of Thor? The thunder didn't make you think of Thor. No, he's like, oh, are you afraid of lightning? And he's like, I'm not afraid of the lightning.
I'm afraid
of what comes after
follows.
It.
That's when I knew. But, like, before that, I didn't equate lightning with Thor. But then
I just had a silent moment of thinking about like, wait, but isn't it normally, don't you hear it first? Which is not true. Have you heard that thing about,
yeah,
you can tell
how
far
away when you hear it
by how many seconds.
You see it when you hear it.
You see it and then you count seconds. And
yeah, and that's how far it is away.
That's how many miles it is away, which who knows if that's fucking accurate, but whatever. Thor shows up. And
did I ever tell you that my house got hit by lightning?
What? No.
Yeah, my house. The house that you came to in Michigan got hit by lightning.
When?
Like
years before or recently?
Years before. Like when I was a kid.
What happened? Did it catch on fire?
No, it basically fried the face of the brick off of our house.
Christ on a cracker.
And by the way,
at least it didn't fry you.
You hear the crack and you see the light. It is very close together when it hits the house.
Oh, yeah. No, when it's close, it's fucking.
Yeah. The sound and the light were right next to each other. So that whole how far it is away is true.
Did Thor show up or?
Yeah, he showed up. He fucked me.
Yeah.
I mean, I was 12, but it felt good.
That explains so much.
Mm-hmm. He just fucked me with his hammer, too. It's like pretty good. That's why I have such a big pussy.
Just really just.
It's one of the galaxies now. It's one of the nine universes. Nine galaxies. What is it? I don't know.
Nine realms.
Nine. I got a realm. My pussy's one of the realms.
There's. I was going to try to name them and then just go pussifist, but I don't know.
Pussifist
so he works. Snatches Loki and then Iron Man's like, motherfucker.
I got to go get him.
Yeah. So. Iron Man speeds off, and then Captain America's like, well, I suppose I should back him up. And Thor has Loki, and Thor's basically being like, I'm going to take care of this.
He's my prisoner.
Yeah. And so Thor and Loki land somewhere where they're like having a very like, what the fuck are you doing? Don't go get that Tesseract. you're trying to, you know, you have evil intentions, yada, yada, yada. And Loki's basically like, oh, I'm the outcast and fuck you and you're a pussy and all this shit that we kind of saw like snippets of in Thor. They're Thor and Loki-ing is basically what they're doing.
Brotherly-ish love.
There's a serious like harm on its way to the universe and they're having a petty argument.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, Iron Man shows up, immediately tackles Thor.
Yeah.
Like, fuck you for taking this prisoner away from us.
Mm-hmm. Well, he knows Loki can't go anywhere because he doesn't have his scepter.
But does he know that? That's the thing, is like, you don't fucking know who this guy
is
or
I don't
what
know.
He's capable of. Like, that's really confident to just like completely release the
That's
prisoner.
A really good point.
But they are fucking, it's...
It is a
Iron
brutal
Man and
battle.
Thor are like going at it.
I love the part when Thor summons the lightning and then he shoots it at Iron Man. And then all of a sudden Jarvis is like, we're at 400%.
And so it made him stronger.
And he's like, yeah, look at that. And then he does the chest beam thing. And it's like the strongest chest beam he's ever had. And like Thor gets thrown like across the forest.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, it's like chef's kiss level fighting. And then of course
Captain America shows up and he's like, stop fighting.
Yeah,
and then
he's
Thor's and then Captain America goes, I'm gonna need you to put down the hammer. And then Iron Man is like, you don't want to do that, you don't want to tell him that he really likes that hammer.
And he's like,
and then Thor and runs at Captain America with the hammer
and he like fucking hammers the shield. But the shield is vibranium.
So it sends out massive shockwaves and levels everything in the forest.
Yeah, it levels everything in the forest. And that is, I think, where we're going to cut this episode off.
Yeah.
Like, that's...
I mean, that's a lot.
First of all, not only is that a lot...
Oh, by the way, and Loki was, like, way too amused because somebody beat his brother's ass.
Yeah, because it's like forget about his situation and being this prisoner of who at this point? He was taken from the government, taken by Thor, and he's not happy to see Thor. Who would be? So it's, you know, he has this brotherly, like, hatred going on. So seeing, even if it is, like, these people are both my enemies, seeing the person who's, like, your dearest enemy getting fucked up, there is a little.
Sweet bliss. Loki came a little bit in his space pants.
Oh, for sure. And also, as a viewer, it's like, okay, if you're going into this going, oh, the Avengers, they all come together for the greater good. You're like, what in the fuck is happening? Captain America's barking orders at Iron Man. Iron Man's like, Iron Man's real snarky with Captain America all the time so far.
He's really snarky with everyone.
And then Thor is like a rogue. It's like, this isn't even assembled. And like, what the fuck is happening? And now they've maybe blown themselves to smithereens.
I love it.
Do people say smithereens anymore?
They should. Smithereens is a real... Did I ever tell you the time about when I was in college, there were two homeless guys fighting and then a third homeless man comes in and stands between the two guys. And he's like, come on, man. You guys both need to chill. Someone's going to blow a gasket and blow us all to smithereens.
That man is an angel.
Mm-hmm.
He just used lots of catchphrases. Mm-hmm. That's
blow a gasket.
So funny. I blew a gasket. So yeah, look, we're gonna stop here. Fucking, where did everyone go? Is Loki gonna get away? You probably already know if you're listening to this podcast. You've probably seen this movie 100 times. The point is, we're stopping there. Chaos ensued.
A really good line that I loved. I don't know if you caught the reference. Stark goes by Thor and he's like something. He's like, what? All right. Point Break. We get it.
I heard everyone. So you guys already know we watch these movies live with patrons at the Silver Sickle level or higher. That's tier 2 or higher. Patreon.com/2filthynerds. I'll never stop plugging it. Just join us. It's a cool crew. Everyone lost their mind at that. And I don't get it. So I think we might have to. What is there something we need
Point
to watch?
Break is a movie with Keanu Reeves and Val Kilmer. And Val Kilmer's very blonde with shaggy hair in it, just like Thor. So that was a fun scene.
That's
Patrick Swayze. Sorry. Why does he
instead
Val
of Val Kilmer?
Whatever, close enough. Patrick Swayze.
Close enough. Well, a lot of people would disagree, mostly.
Totally, but
Val Kilmer, who's
both
still
very
alive
popular
looks
at
terrible.
The time, so,
yes. So that's where we leave off. We will be doing a palate cleanser after this of Airplane, which we've talked about among the Patreon group to no end. So we're finally going to watch Airplane. But before that, you'll hear the second half of this episode next week, followed by a fun Airplane palate cleanser, because we got to mix it up. We've gotten to this is phase one, which will come to a close with our next episode, the second half of The Avengers. Still so much more to come. We love you guys. Make sure following us at Two Filthy Nerds. If you want to support the podcast more, you know what to do. We've said it a million times. Go to Patreon. Also, won't cost you a dime to join the Facebook group, Fellowship of the Filthy Nerds. Lots of fun stuff going on in there. Go over there. We'll see you next time. Bye, nerds.
Bye.
This has been a Two Filthy Nerds production.